Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
So I want to welcome you to the prophetic meeting place. My name is Roy Miller. I'm the director of the prophetic ministry here. Voice Ministries is an equipping, healing, transforming center of God. It's not a typical ministry. We're called together to help. God has raised up men and women of God to help establish kingdom ministry that is not just focused on building a platform for one man or for one group of people, but it's about building the kingdom of God and about advancing the church and building up and advancing the kingdom of God in this region. And we're so thankful for the opportunity to be able to, in any way, be a blessing, to be an encouragement in your life. And this night here, as first Tuesday of every month, was dedicated to the prophetic ministry. We kind of this Tuesday night service is titled the meeting place, and there's quite a history to this meeting. And but tonight we focus in the prophetic ministry. The ministry of the prophetic is released and in a particular special way. And so we do this the first Tuesday of every month. And so we normally will bring some type of a message or exhortation or something to encourage you. And then we'll have some of the ministers from our team come up and minister to you from the stage as the Lord would point you out to us, as the Lord would somehow highlight you. He would give us words of comfort and encouragement for you. And then when the ministry is over, what we normally do is we'll have our team come up, and you can come and get 1 or 2 minute prophecies. And so there you would need your own recording device of some kind or something to write that down. And so we're going to be doing some new things. I'm excited this new year. God is, I feel like, kind of turning up the water pressure a little bit, and that there's some new things that he wants to do, and we're looking forward to that. We don't believe that it's a mistake that you're here, even as Bob Deering had said earlier. You are a brave people. You are a hungry people. You are a passionate people to come out in this weather to get touched from the Lord. And I'm just going to agree with you. That's exactly what God's going to do. That none of you will leave the same, but that all of us will leave with a special touch from the Lord. I did hear a few things specifically for this group, but I'm going to just share these after. I just have a little something to share about prophecy. So just like a short teaching, and then I'm just going to share what we feel like the Lord is saying to you on a personal level. So some of you, maybe prophecy is, you're new to what prophecy is. Some of you have been around for a long time. You know fully what it is. We just want to, just for the sake of getting it out there, and we're always working to try to make sure that the foundation is solid and firm, because you can't build very high on a foundation that isn't built right. Amen. You can't build on something if there's cracks and holes and weak points in it. And so we're always trying to continue to make sure that the foundational things are laid. And so prophecy is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and it's an expression of the Spirit of God. The Bible said that Jesus, that he did nothing that he didn't first see his Father doing, and he said nothing that he didn't first hear what his Father was saying. Some of us could think that that would be an exaggerated metaphor, or, you know, well, that just kind of tells a little bit, kind of like the idea or the behavior that Jesus had. I believe that it's exactly as it says, that it is literal, that Jesus lived such a Spirit-led prophetic life that he did everything according to the way God led him to do it. I think he's that great. How about you? Do you think Jesus was that great? I think he was that great. And one of the things is in order to understand prophecy, we need to, Jesus will help us to understand what prophecy is. And to fully understand what prophecy is, we need to understand Jesus. Because Jesus, the very spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. says in the book of Revelation. And so I just want to just share. Now, sometimes, like earlier when I was speaking during the worship, we would call that a corporate prophecy. As we have a corporate gathering, there's something at large, we call that a corporate setting, a corporate gathering. And versus if you come into a prophetic word, or you come to us, or we come to you one-on-one, that's a personal word. You guys see what I'm saying? So corporate being all of us at one, at large, personal be one-on-one. I just want to just kind of read a quick definition so that we can get an understanding of what corporate prophecy is, and then that will help us to understand in a greater way what personal prophecy is. Corporate prophetic ministry is when God chooses to minister to a church, congregation, or specific group of people through the prophetic and revelatory power of the Holy Spirit, primarily to edify, exhort, and comfort. And you find that reference in 1 Corinthians 14:3. The Holy Spirit will choose a person or a small number of people and reveal to them something he wants to be communicated to the congregation. Once the message is received and basically understood, the Holy Spirit will lead his messenger through the appropriate channels so what God wants to say can be expressed to the people. It's prophetic because God's thoughts and words are Holy Spirit inspired. And that word inspired being God breathed within the messenger and or the one speaking on behalf of God. It deals with supernatural revelation, truth that cannot be known by any natural means, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Corporate prophetic ministry is part of Christ's express love and affection, counsel and leading, foresight and revelation. The Lord may reveal and or confirm his plans regarding the calling, purpose, and destiny of the congregation or group, as well as give comfort or counsel for the current circumstances. Does that make sense? So when you think about what corporate prophecy is, we'll just personalize that. So God will speak to us through a friend, a loved one, someone who knows how to hear the voice of God. It can be a simple phrase or it can be more complex. It can be a message that may take several minutes that the Lord has for you. And but in a corporate setting, we know that in a corporate place, it has to do with all of us in the room at the moment, but we don't always want to limit it to just that. There may be specific groups of people within the congregation that some of the things are said that are specifically for them, but not always the whole. So when we bring a corporate prophetic word, it's something for the body of Christ. And there's scriptures that Paul talks about that he would prefer that we prophesy. You know, there's an old saying about the prophetic ministry, and that is they call it the shotgun gift, the shotgun gift. You know, like how many of you know what a shotgun is? Like bird pellet, you know, it'll spray out several pellets at once, right? So it's like the shotgun gift, you could hit many at once with it. Versus a rifle, it'd take a while to peg people off one-on-one, yeah? And so when you think about this, is that we can all be edified, or many can be edified at one moment from a prophetic word. Because when it's really prophetic and it's really inspired, that word God breathed, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. That word inspired means God breathed, okay? So when it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's not just a word. There is God life in that word. Does that make sense? So when God speaks it, and that originates with the Holy Spirit, there is a spirit life attached to that word. And when it's spoken, it can be a normal or general word, but be rich and filled with life and the power of God. And so when you receive a prophetic word, it may be something, at times, it could be something that could seem basic, it could seem simple to some. Sometimes we have an idea that the more amazing or more impressive a word is, the more prophetic it is. Like, thus me telling you, the Lord loves you and he's with you during this challenging time, that could be, in the eyes of some people, it's okay. But if I was to tell you your birth date, then some would say, oh, now that's really prophetic. The truth is, it's not going to be any more prophetic than what God wants it to be. So if it's really from God, it's as prophetic as it's going to get. Amen. Yeah? And so if God will say things that are simple, but How many of you have heard something simple from God, but it meant so much to you, brought so much strength and life to you? Any of you know what I'm talking about? It's amazing. We could try to tell someone else and kind of even feel silly, like, well, to me it meant a lot. I can see you're trying to understand. But when it's from God, you know that it's special. There's a witness, and I've had God say one or two words, and I completely felt different after that. I just, my physical body, my emotional state, everything seemed to change. The Bible speaks about prophecy. Now, love is the thing that we're to attain. Love with God, intimacy with God. But if there's like one fruit on the tree that we really need to stretch for, that we need to put our whole heart into, it's love. Love. And when you can mix prophecy and love together, that's when power, like the Father's heart, power comes out of that. So love should be our first goal in chasing the Lord in intimacy with Him and being intimate with others. But we need to have love in order to balance out the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." How many of you know prophecy is biblical? Yeah? I just read it to you. Prophecy is biblical. So if we've ever wondered, well, I don't know about that prophecy stuff, right here, 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." I didn't make that up. It's in the Bible. You have permission to prophesy. Amen? It's a good thing. It's a God thing. It's like the testimony of Jesus. Yeah? And even in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, it says, "Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues." Now that's a controversial topic in the body of Christ, yeah? But it says it here, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I didn't write this. It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. "Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets those tongues so that the church may receive edifying." So when we understand that prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "To the one who prophesies, they do so for edification, exhortation, and comfort." It doesn't have a long list of other things behind it. That's the primary meaning of prophecy. Sometimes we think, well, don't you prophesy to rebuke and correct people? No, that's not what prophecy is about. And there's a lot of reasons why. So whenever we are, you know, you can be really encouraging to someone and not even realize that you are prophetically ministering to someone. Prophetic ministry is meant to build people up. Some of us have maybe even felt really good and energized. It's like all these good thoughts are coming to our mind as we're seeing someone and we're telling them what we like about them or what we see about them. You're probably prophesying to them. And you're prophetically ministering life to them. And so some of us say, maybe even some of us may think, well, prophecy is not really for me. You know, I don't really, you know, I think there's a few that can do that. And you need to be one of those people that fast a lot and that you never leave, you know, the altar and that you just, you know, your mouth is just nothing but one long prayer or one long, you know, it's like the spiritual elite. Well, what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:31, it says, "For you can all prophesy. You can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be exhorted." This is part of your inheritance. You can all prophesy. And 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, "Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy." So not only can anyone prophesy, not only are we called and destined to prophesy, but we're told to earnestly desire to prophesy. How many of us really work on that one? Yeah? There's a lot of lists of things we need to do, but earnestly desire, pursue love, especially spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And then 1 Corinthians 39, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. And my last scripture for now is 1 Thessalonians 5:20. It says, "Do not despise prophecies." The whole Bible is a prophetic book. And it has to do with a prophetic lifestyle. if the word prophecy bothers you, substitute it for inspire. Or if inspire bothers you, substitute it for spirit-led. Because that's what it is being spirit-led. The God of all creation has made his home inside of us. Now, I'm sorry, but he is mighty and powerful all the time. He is inside of us, and he desires to be powerful and mighty through us and in us as much as he does to do that on his own. We're called to co-labor with Christ. Yeah? So each one of us have a prophetic destiny. It's part of our spiritual inheritance to be able to prophesy, to be able to speak forth the mind and the counsel of the Lord to whoever needs it in God's timing and way. So if you're wondering that, I just want to pray a quick prayer. If any of you have doubted whether you can prophesy, I want to pray with you right now. Lord, we know that your word says that we can all prophesy. And your holy word says that we're to desire spiritual gifts, pursue love, but especially that we may prophesy. So God, I just ask you to give me the confidence, to give me the faith, to receive the grace I need to prophesy. I ask, Lord, that you would give me the opportunities and the teaching and the skills and the wisdom and the faith to prophesy your word. Help me to be able to recognize that which you're speaking from any other word, for any other source, from my own heart, from my own imagination, or the enemy or any other thing. I thank you, Lord, that this is part of my inheritance. I thank you this is part of your plan for my life. I thank you that you fashioned my lips to praise you, but also to proclaim forth your word and your counsel to the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to call the prophetic team up. We're going to do some ministry. Are the prophetic team leaders? Stan, John, Penny. And so some of you, if you've never done this before, you're not familiar with this. We're not playing favorites. This is not about, well, hey, so-and-so looks like they dressed a little nicer today for church, and so we want to reward them or anything like that. It's got absolutely nothing to do with that. Sometimes God's got a way of causing or drawing our attention to you. And it's just like Peter, when he got out of the boat, it took faith. So some reason, God will cause one of you to stand out to us. Some of you, it's many of you, but there will be one at first. And we might get a thought, we might see a picture, we might hear a word. And as we have developed this and worked on this, we know that we can trust God that if we open our mouth and we intend good, that means that we prophesy to edify, exhort, and comfort. No negativity. Yeah? No negativity. No criticism. No rebuking or correcting. Okay? There's a place for that, but it's a small area within the fivefold ministry, so to speak, or the shepherds and the pastors in certain situations. If you were to bring a corrective word, it would grieve the one to bring it, not excite and make them happy. God, is there any other way? Is there something else that we can do? Not to correct. Prophetic is to build up, not to tear down. Yeah? So when we do this, God is going to show us, cause one of you to stand out. We're going to take turns as the Lord shows. We're going to share a small prophecy with you. And so we're going to stretch our faith a little bit. And you're just going to take turns. And so if you want the recordings of this, then we have a CD stand out there in the lobby. And you can sign up and take care of everything you need to in order to get that to you. Okay? So what we'd like to do is after we're done ministering, just to kind of take the edge off, we give the Lord a hand, okay? So when we do that, if you guys would just honor the Lord in that way, because we're just trying to honor him and do what he says that he wants us to do. So I'm going to go ahead and start out. Is that okay, guys? I'm going to start out. Okay. There's a gentleman all the way in the back. You have your hair is gray and white. That gentleman right there. Yeah, yes, sir. What's your name? Steve what? Steve Royal. Steve, I see like there's been a delay, almost like in orders from the Lord. It's like something that was granted to you, given to you, almost like some kind of permission in the Spirit. Something was granted and given to you, but it's been held up in the Spirit. It's almost like, you know, you send something official, the government sends something in through the mail, and it can get caught up, and then it's got to be, so-and-so has to approve it, and this has to be approved. I see a stamp of approval on some of your spiritual paperwork, so to speak. And I feel like the Lord is saying there's been a waiting period that you've been going through, but you're about ready to see things really begin to move forward. I know this has to do with legalities in the Spirit, legal things, authority in the Spirit, permission, but I know that it has to do with also moving forward in the things that God has called you to do in a greater way. So I feel like kingdom resources are now officially being released to you. It was some time back that God said yes. But now it's like you come into the season where the waiting is about to end. And I feel like that especially when the next couple months, you're going to really see things begin to pick up. I see life coming out of a winter season. And I heard the Lord say, rejoice, rejoice, make my plans. Amen. Bless you.
Okay. The gentleman back here in the third row back, you're sitting next, second seat over. What's your name? Now, I'm just going to say a little bit just as far as like teaching for your guys' benefit, like how I got this or when I got this, that kind of thing. And so you'll just maybe understand, oh, okay, well, I've had that before. Okay, now this happened when I came in and I saw you from behind. So I didn't see your face. So that's another thing that it kind of, if I see something from behind, I got this impression. And so for you, the impression that I got was I saw your body, your form, your physical body from behind, and it was like the Holy Spirit's jealous. It's like you're your body is attracting the Holy Spirit, okay? And I see you really being agile in the Holy Spirit, okay? And okay, I'm just going by my impressions, okay? Because sometimes it's hard to figure out things. Okay, so I got the impression that the Holy Spirit was really attracted to your body, physically, for some reason. I can't understand why, okay? Now, so as a prophetic minister, my job is to try to make sense out of that or maybe get a sense of why or, you know, so you have a little bit of something to say besides just one thing, okay? All right, and so I sense a real hunger in your heart and even a desperation type of hunger that God really loves. And I also just feel like some people are made to be nimble and others aren't. You're a nimble person spiritually, okay? Now, when I say that, it makes me think of a verse David talked about. He said, give me hinds feet. God's given me hinds feet on high places. So nimbleness in the Spirit could mean just a flexibility to understand, a willingness to move quickly with the Holy Spirit when He impresses you to do something, the ability to understand a large variety of things going on. You can move from place to place quickly, perhaps, those kind of things, okay? But just in a general sense, just a really, it was just a kind of a unusual, just an impression of how You're. I feel like that you've done a good job of preparing yourself, and you are making a place, and you are just a real. The Holy Spirit loves to inhabit you. Okay, all right. Be blessed. That's good.
Gentlemen, clear in the back over there. You're by the yellow sign. Barbie's behind you. That guy. Yeah. What's your name? Dexter. I saw you on the side of an airport, and those guys that have the flashlights and they're directing the planes in and they're directing. I saw that you doing that, and I just sensed that you have to have a real keen eye for that, and you're really multitasking because not only are you directing the one plane in, but you're thinking about the next one coming in, and I just feel like you're busy. You're a busy person, but I feel like it's your life is filled with good things of busyness. I just really feel like the Lord is, I saw His hand come alongside your hand, and I feel like rather than you just directing your life in your own strength, I see the Lord partnering with you and beginning to direct your life through that place. And so I just really feel like you're coming into a season where don't feel like you're so all alone and that the Lord doesn't see you and see the things that you do. I feel like and when he partners with you and puts his hand alongside yours, there's a strength that comes, and all of a sudden there's things that you haven't encountered before, and the Lord is giving you a physical, tangible, just a reality of him directing your life. So look for it in the days ahead.
Amen.
Amen.
This young gentleman with the green and white hoodie on, you? Yes, what's your name? Josh, I felt like the Lord wants you to know that you're not a chicken, you're an eagle. And he wants you to know that in days ahead, he's going to prepare you to fly. And you've been seeking with your whole heart. You're hungry, and there's been a burning on you. And the Lord wants you to know that that is from him, and that he is going to raise you up as an eagle, and you're going to influence a lot of young people for your generation. And when the burning comes, don't resist it. Step into it. And I felt like the Lord wants you to know that a full-grown Jesus lives on the inside of you. He is you are his hands and his feet, and he has called you to be Jesus to the groups that he is sending you to. I feel like you're going to be extremely influential in your generation to lead, guide, and guard them in the character of Christ. So be blessed and be encouraged tonight. Okay.
Here's a couple things that I got before or right in the midst of worship that was for some that are here. So this is more than just one person. I heard the Lord say those that are under 12 years old that are here tonight. Is there anybody here? I know I see a couple little girls back there. If you're under 12 years old, raise your hand. Okay, let me tell you what I saw. I saw like what reminded me of a thin oil in the air. Like if you can think of a spray that's in the air that's so thin it's lightly falling to the ground, a little heavier than dew. And I saw it had golden reflections in it. I knew this had to do with like the anointing of God, and that the Lord was anointing those of you that are in the room tonight that are younger than 12 years old and younger with a special anointing for holiness in your generation. And so I just feel like we need right here in the group to pray for every one of these young ones, okay? You guys agree with me? Lord, we thank you that this is your plan. We agree with what we saw in heaven. We call down that which you have shown in heaven to be manifest on earth. We release now that anointing upon the 12 and younger that are here present for holiness in their generation, for holiness in this time, and for even into their adulthood, that they would have a special grace by you, that their eyes and their ears and their heart, their bodies and all that is theirs that is beautiful to you would be dedicated to you in even a special way, that they would have a special grace to not be drawn into that which is opposite of holy, but they would have a special grace to stand and live all the days of their life in the holiness of the Lord. And then I also heard the Lord say for those that are single, for every one of you that are single, and I even heard an emphasis on those that have been long waiting, I feel like the Lord wants to minister to you tonight. Feel like that it's not something that we want to rush to, but maybe take a moment of prayer. That it's been a painful journey for some of you. The enemy has definitely worked to bring loneliness and despair and even depression for some. I feel like the Lord really wants to administer his love. Even as we were saying early, God washed me with your love. God wants to touch you. You know, all of those that are single, and even especially those that have been single for a long time, I just feel like God wants to minister hope to you. He wants to minister life to you. He wants to bring a satisfaction in your singleness. He wants to bring about a joy that will be your strength, even as he is your soulmate. So why don't you just agree with me those of you who are single, okay, you can raise your hand if you want to in faith. Lord, we just thank you for our fellow brothers and sisters that are single. Lord, those that have been waiting on you even for a long time, we ask you to sustain them. We ask you to give them the strength to even be persistent in their long suffering and even their perseverance and waiting on you and trusting on you and being set aside as you are their spouse. So we just bless with a special grace everyone single here. Some feel even alienated by the body of Christ. They don't feel a part or even included in what's happening. God, we ask you to make up for this. We ask you to bring a new sensitivity even in the body of Christ, especially for those that are present, wherever they're plugged in, a new sensitivity to being single, a new sensitivity, but also, Lord, a new strength. Even as there's much required, I feel like the Lord is saying that many of you that are single have more time, and God wants you to know that he has a purpose in this time for you. Don't waste this time. Don't waste the freedom that you have outside of marriage. And I just feel like the Lord is just drawing you in. So God, touch them. Touch them, Lord. Touch them. Meet the need. Go deep. We call forth that the sorrow would go in Jesus' name. Any despair, go in Jesus' name. Any pain and frustration, go in Jesus' name. Any jealousy of not being married or for those that do have a spouse, go in Jesus' name. We call forth for the refreshing of the Holy Spirit to be upon all that are here, that are single and in this situation, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's give the Lord a hand for his love for you.
You're going to trust me again, okay. The first row behind the chairs, there are the gentleman setting the black sweater on. He's not looking up here. Rob, I think is his name, right there, right? Is that you? Right, okay. I just feel like that God's given you a father's heart, and he's building a message in your life. And I just feel like that as you father, as you're giving yourself to your family, God's building a message, and I just feel like there's a lot of things he's going to show you. He's revealing his heart. He's revealing the Father's heart, and that's a big deal. It's where he's taking the church to understand the Father's heart, and I feel like that he's raising you up with a message. He's preparing you, and at the right time, you'll teach. You're going to just really be a father in the house of the Lord. So I just bless you, and I bless you in your fatherhood. Oh, another thing, too. I hadn't really noticed this before, but a while ago, when I looked back, I thought, man, you look like Jesus. Anyone ever tell you that you look like Jesus? Okay. So that was the way I saw you. So you also just carry the Lord's heart. You look like him.
Behind you, Amy, Stephanie. Stephanie, I saw you standing, and there was this brick wall around you. And it felt to you like you were penned in and isolated. But all of a sudden, I saw the Lord hand you a bucket of mortar. And it was kind of cool mortar because there was gold chunks in it. And he was handing you a brick, and you were working together. And he was building the wall. And you're thinking, why are you making the wall of isolation even taller? And the Lord said, this has been my wall of protection for you personally. And that he loves to spend time in that place with you. And he's building it even stronger. And all of a sudden you look down, and there were all these different megaphones around your feet, and they were different sizes. And the Lord said, find your voice. You have a voice. I've given you a voice. You have studied his word deep within your heart. And every one of those megaphones were a different audience and a different person that is going to hear your voice that you have. You've studied the scriptures. And I just sense that the Lord is really proud of you and how you study the scriptures. And it comes out of you so effortlessly. And you were like picking up one. And the Lord said, this is for the young boys. And you picked up another one. He said, this is for the elderly. And every time you picked up a megaphone, it was for a different audience. So I bless you in that. Bless you in your voice that the Lord has given you of the scriptures and the voice that he's given you to proclaim who he is to you and who he is to others. Amen.
Yes.
I heard the phrase bridge over troubled waters, and I felt like that was for you in the hat. What's your name? Right there. Yes, what's your name?
Mike.
Mike, I felt like the Lord wants you to know that hard times don't last forever, and that he has got you in the palm of his hand, and that there is a purpose and a plan and identity over you. And the Lord said he has your name tattooed in the palm of his hand. The Lord likes tattoos, by the way. But I felt like he wants you to know that this bridge over troubled waters is for others. Because as you get healed, and as you see his face, and as you know the things that he's brought you out of, and how he's built your faith, and how he's protected you, you will share that with others. And I see you reaching down into the pit of Hades and pulling out many other young men that are burning and they need Jesus. There's a evangelistic heart burning over you, and it will arise. So hard times will not last. You're going to arise and shine, for your light has come, and you've been called for such a time as this. And God will fulfill the promise to you. So be encouraged and don't give up. All right?
Yes.
And I know I've seen your face many times. I'm pointing right at you. You have a V shirt here. You have, it's brown. And yeah, yeah. What's your name? What? Jill. Jill. Jill, I feel like you have a gift from the Lord to teach. And I feel like that along with that gift to teach, there's a great hospitality instinct that you have, and just a desire to serve others. And I see God has been using circumstances to pulling things together for you. And there's a finishing work that he's been doing to prepare you for greater ministry. But in this, it's not just for ministry, it's for you as well. There's almost a settling inside of, I knew there was more. I knew that the things that I was feeling and dreaming and sensing, and I just, it's almost like as God is moving you deeper into more of your purpose, that your identity is becoming clearer. So there's an issue of your purpose, your identity, and your destiny that God is making clearer to you. But I feel like he wants you to continue to search him out, but he wants to refresh you in the journey and the labor of this. But I just see you serve in the body with great joy, but it's not just in one way or another. But I see people who are hungry. I see you in the kitchen. I see you making spiritual food for them. And that could be teaching the Word of God. That could be ministering healing to them. That can be counseling. I don't feel like the Lord has just said this, but not that. But that there's many things that you can do. And I just see the Lord's hand on you, moving you forward. And the favor on his life is on your life. His favor on your life is going to be more and more apparent to you and to those that are around you on the days and months to come. Bless you.
Okay, third row back, the young lady on the end of the row. You have a gray sweater on. Yes, what's your name? Kristen? Okay. Are you artistic, artist kind of person? Would you like to be? I felt like that, for one thing, I felt like you have a lot of, I'd call it antennas, spiritual antennas, a lot of just capacity to hear God in a lot of different ways. I feel like he'll speak to you in a lot of different ways. And I just also felt the word, unconventional. I feel like he's maybe giving you some unconventional approaches or perspectives on things that are just unique from him, that he'll give you the grace to bring forth, and it'll bring life to people. Just an unconventional way. God oftentimes moves in unconventional ways, and I see him doing that through you, and that's kind of where I connected it with the artistic thing. I just see you as someone that's, it's kind of hard to, just unique, I guess is a good way to say it, unique. And so I just bless you in that and in your unconventional perspective that he gives you.
A couple back there, you're holding the baby. What's your guys' name? Sarah and David. What's your last name? What is it? I'm right. I saw an unusual picture, and I just gonna trust the Lord in it. I don't try to figure him out anymore. I saw you both on one set of skis, and it was interesting because David, you were in the front, and what was your name again, Sarah? You were in the back, and I saw you going down this ski slope, and what I saw was your spiritual gifts functioning. Sarah, I saw your discernment say, "We need to go left, honey. We need to go to the right a little bit." And then there were times when you were leading David and you were telling her, "We're going to go this way. We're going to take a hard right." And there were times when you were doing that. But I saw you both functioning well on one set of skis. And I really felt like that is the unity that is within you. And I really feel like the Lord is going to cultivate that even more. And that you have to, I feel like you're trusting each other's gifts. David, I feel like you're trusting her discernment more in these days ahead. And you're trusting his leadership. And I feel like they work together. That's why they're on one set of skis. I just really feel like the Lord is pleased with how you navigate through that. Amen.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I heard the phrase kitten. Does somebody have the nickname kitten? A grandmother called you kitten? Your father called you kitten? Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand if that's you? No? No one? Are you sure? All right. I'm sorry. You know, it's all good. We stretch up here. The young lady, the young lady with red hair. No, I'm sorry. But it's a term of endearment. And a young lady with the red hair with the glasses, you right there in the... Yes, you. What's your name? Yes, you. What's your name?
Alyssa.
Alyssa, I think that was for you. And I'll tell you why I think it's for you. Because the Lord wants you to know that you are his kitten. You are his delight, that he loves you. And he wants to show himself as father to you, as friend to you, as hope to you. And I feel like you've been through some hard places and you've been hurt, but the Lord wants you to know that he loves you with an everlasting love, and that your past does not determine your future, and that he wants to love on you just as you would hold a, you know, if any of you have ever had a small kitten and you know how lovely they are and you just, you know, hold them dear. And the Lord wants you to know that he holds you dear, young lady. And you may not feel that, and you may not believe that right now, but the Lord wants you to know that he delights in you, and you belong to him, and he is with you. So I bless you in that. All right?
Okay, I'm going to just do a couple short ones, and then we'll have the... We're going to have the prophetic team just come up front, the whole team, and then you can come get 1 or 2 minute personal prophecies. Again, you'll need a phone with an app for recording or a recording device or something to write it down. We don't record those words for you. So I'm just going to do a few quick ones real quick. I believe it's Janice. Okay, Janice. It's been a long time. And then I forget your husband's name. Mark and Janice. Okay. I saw like a big ribbon, like a bow, and it was all folded up, and I knew that it represented a gift from the Lord, and that I couldn't see what the gift was, but I could just see the ribbon, and I knew that it was from love, out of his love for you. I really feel the Lord's love for you right now, and then I could see, I don't know if you remember a long time ago, for some of us that are older, you know, they had these rubber grip. If you can't get a lid open on something, you know, you get this like a rubber, flat rubber thing, and then it'll give you a grip, and then you can open something up. And Mark, I saw that for you. It's like, I felt like that you were trying to open something and trying to like to unlock something or open something, but you wasn't getting the grip or the hold. And it's like God gave you this new thing or what you needed to open it up. And I'm seeing like a jar of honey. And sometimes that can be symbolic for the anointing, for the presence of the Lord. And I feel like that's part of the gift. And then, Mark, I saw you playing a guitar. Now, you may not play a guitar, although I think the Lord, that could be an invitation to you. But it has to do with worship, because I could see you playing the guitar. I could see Janice singing, and you were worshiping together as a couple. And I felt like the Lord is just like wanted to tie all that together. And his message for you. So God bless you. You guys can go down here. All of you guys are, where are you guys from? Are you guys part of a ministry? I forget. What's that? Teen Challenge. I saw the Lord. Yeah, you guys can come up. The prophetic team, you guys can go ahead and come on up. But I saw like the Lord in the midst of all of you guys. And I saw him like the great physician. And I saw him with needle and thread. And he was going to each one of you, and he was finding the wounds in each one of your lives, and he was mending up the wounds. But at the same time, it was like he was lacing you together as one. And I feel like that part of your healing process is unifying in the bond that you have as friend and brother. And if there's any division among you, the Lord says, weed it out and kill that thing. Because it's meant to be part of your healing. It's meant to be part of the Lord revealing himself to you. Now, a few of you, the Lord just showed me something real quick about. And are you part of the group, sir? Okay, what's your name? Mason? I saw you playing a guitar. And I believe that if you don't play a guitar, it's part of your calling and worship. That God wants to give you an instrument to express your heart, even before him, the plan of the Lord, even like David played. And so I just see that there's the musician's grace on you, even your fingers. The more you give your heart to the Lord and more you play, it's like the more they become golden. There's something about a guitar with you or a stringed instrument. And brother, I see you with men. I feel like you're a men's leader, a pastor of men, and that you're called to encourage men, even as how to be a man of God without having the too high of expectations, but also to know that there are standards that are holy. But I just see you as one who is trusted. You have a counselor's gifting. I just see the Lord really setting you aside for shepherding and pastoring type of calling. But your gifting is different than yours, because I see you also with a pastor's heart. I see deep compassion in you. I see a leader. I feel like that you also have supernatural wisdom God gives you just for problems, so for solutions, to like putting the puzzles and things together. There's a wisdom he'll just give you. But I see you guys really, you guys can learn from each other, but there's similarities in your call. And what was your name, sir? Yes, you. Jesse. Jesse, I feel like that you're one of those risk takers. I just see you like even on a horse like that hasn't been broken. Like, I can ride this thing. But there's a wild nature about you, and there's a risk-taking nature about you. And I heard the Lord say that he wants to use it. He wants to temper it with patience and wisdom. But God has got a great call. I see an evangelistic thing on your life. But not only that, I see God is going to show you more in the days to come. But as your passion, I see him unzipping your heart. It's like your passion, I just see you like running for God. That you're, and again, I look at you and I see you like a David. There's something about you. And you, sir, what was your name again? I'm pointing right at you. Yeah, with a striped shirt, David? Is it Mike? Mike, I see a counselor. I see a counselor in you. I see that God has called you to be a counselor, but also a great friend, that you're a trusted friend. I see great discernment. I see you being able to sniff out deception, and you being able to sniff out the faults. Even when someone's lying or something isn't adding up, you can feel it, you can sense it. The Lord's given you that gift for a purpose. And I just feel like he says, as you come closer, it's going to increase and increase in your life. And brother, what's your name? Tyler, I heard gentle giant, and I feel like that you are a man who is called to, I just heard the Lord say, rescuer. that whether you have a sensitivity and even like an internal spiritual leading for those who are hurting and those who are in need. And again, I'm getting a shepherding, pastoring thing from you as well. I see you drawing. I feel like you have a creativity from God that is not just maybe for drawing only, but maybe it's just expressing and for various arts or whatever it could be, that God would show you something, but then you can put it to paper, or you can put it to, whether it's graphics or it's technology, I don't know. But I heard the Lord say that about you and your calling, that it's like you spending time with the Lord, and I saw him seasoning you, almost like with some seasoning. And then more of your purpose is going to be made aware to you. I just see God's branded your heart. You're never going to be the same again. You're never going to be the same. I don't know your past, but you'll never go backwards. But you are a God chaser. Bless you guys. Okay. So I'm just going to go ahead and invite you up. If you want a prophetic word, if you haven't already got one, then go ahead and come on up. 1 or 2 minute prophecies. And again, I encourage you to bring up some kind of means of recording this or writing this down. But I want to just pray for you and bless you. Dear Lord, we just thank you for every person here, every church, every ministry, every home, every marriage, every region that is represented. We bless in the name of Jesus. And we pray for impartation, the ability to hear, to perceive, to understand and to know your voice and what you're saying. We pray we'll go to a whole new level and greater passion and intimacy in Jesus' name. Okay, be blessed.